Part A.
Well, we have spiritual gifts as our subject. This is our second study. We're in a series called teleology. It's a theological term that talks about the study of spiritual growth, because teleos is the word for completion. And when you put it within the realm of growth, it talks about growing to completion, or spiritual growth maturity, or the ultimate of what Bob Thing called super grace, which is kind of a great idea. In modern vernacular, isn't it? I mean, well, they don't talk so much about super anymore when they did when I was a kid growing up. We had Superman, supermarkets, you could supersize it, super. Now we've gone into kind of mega. We got mega churches, we got mega this, and we got mega that. So we kind of moved away from super into mega right now. But when Bob came along, he was trying to take something to its maximum, to the maximum idea, and he called it super grace. Now I guess we call it maximum grace. I don't know. But the idea is the ultimate of spiritual maturity and teleos. And I'm talking about 12 doctrines that I think are very essential. They were essential for me. These 12 doctrines revolutionized my life in Christ. And so I brought those 12 doctrines to you. As a congregation, we'll put them on our website so that you can get access to them. And I encourage you to get a notebook and put these 12 in it. These are 12 that are essential to your life and the life of your ministry. When people out there, when you talk to other people, these are the things that are very important to ministry, even in their church and in their life. Well, last week we introduced you to the subject of spiritual gifts in teleology. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 13, and introduced the idea. And as I said, you can keep current with us by going to our website, doctrinalstudies.com. Plus, you can pick up, I'm only doing two lessons on spiritual gifts. There you can get a ton of them, and you can get it in more detail. This week we will study the major passages where they list the gifts. And so one of the things I've done is I've taken all the passages that have the gifts and I've listed them as they were in the passages, and then we'll reduce them down to get a number, a total number, and I'll explain to you why the number is a certain number. I'll show it to you in the Greek language. And you have one of those gifts. There is no ungifted believers in the church age. There is no such thing. And you got that gift when you got saved. Now it's up to you to understand what it is and take responsibility for it. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to also explain today why some gifts ceased and some were done away with in the church age. Because gifts are for the church age. They're not for any other age. They're not important. So when some cease, they're going to cease during the time of their function. And some are going to be done away with in the time of their function. And we're going to talk about why that was and what gifts were and why they were ceased. So the first thing I want to do, because we've already had prayer, the first thing I want to do is I want you to look in your Bibles to make sure I've correctly printed them, okay? So the first thing I want you to do, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 14. And I want you to go through the list and look at your piece of paper, and that's in column 1 on the left. And let's see if I've listed all of them correctly. All right? So let's make sure. Do we have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? Do we have that? Do you have your Bibles open? Do we have faith? And it should say a different faith. Does it say different faith? Because in the Greek language, the word is heteros. It means a different kind of faith. This is not the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. This is a faith that's produced by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? And then you have gifts of healing. See, gifts of healings, plural, both of them, gifts of healings. And you should have gifts of miracles. They should be plural, are they? They should be plural. You have prophecy and discerning, maybe distinguishing or discerning spirits. kinds of tongues, plural, kinds of tongues, plural. And you should have interpretation of tongues. Does that pretty much cover our list? How many is that? 9. Put 9 down there. Now let me tell you something that's unique about these gifts. I told you last week that these are in 4 sets. In the Greek language, these are in sets. Now, unless you have a Greek Bible, you can't see it. But what you have in the Greek language is these broken in divisions, and they do H-O-S, H-O-S-M-E-N is a set, and then they go A-L-L-O-S, alos, day. So you got Hausman sets up a series and sets out 2, then it goes alos day, alos day, alos day, and it sets up sets. So you have 4 sets. You have 4 sets in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. As we looked at this list, in the Greek language, they're done in sets. So I want you to make sure you got these in sets. So however you want to make it as a set, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is a set. So some way identify that. Different faith, gifts of miracles, healings and miracles is a set. Prophecy and distinguishing spirits is a set. Kinds of tongues and interpretation is a set. Now, most people know that most of these are sets. I mean, you've heard about tongues and interpretation. You can't have tongues in the church unless there's interpretation. You can't have prophecy unless there was discerning spirits. That's where they get that. These are sets. There are 4 sets. Now, that may not seem like importance until we get to chapter 13 when he said some are going to cease and some are going to be done away with. Then these 4 sets are going to be very, very important. The fact that they're in sets is going to be very important to you. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Now, did you understand that? You got 4 sets, right? You got 4 sets. You got word of wisdom, word of knowledge. That's 1 set. Different faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. That's set 2. Prophecy, distinguishing spirits, set 3. Kinds of tongues, interpretation, set 4. You with me? Sets. All right. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 28 through 30, and he gives another list. He goes, and you need to look there and make sure we got them. Make sure we got them on there. We got apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administration, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Agreed? Did I miss any? Okay. Now, when you look at the first column on the far left, and you do away with the second, the ones that you don't want to repeat them, right? So you do them, and I italics them, right? I put them in italics. So all the ones in bold print count, because they are new. Apostles is new, teachers is new, helps is new, and administration is new, right? They're not in the first column. So how many we have? 4. So we picked up 4 additional ones. Now we go to Romans, the 12th chapter, 6 through 8, where's another list of gifts. So go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and make sure we got all the gifts listed that are there. Romans, the 12th chapter, 6 through 8. All right. Prophecy, service or ministry, that word service or is also the word ministry, service, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and mercy. Did you find any others? Yeah, you have Romans 12, chapter 6 or 8? Are they all there? Is there any extras? No. So, we're looking for all the gifts, so if any's been repeated, we're going to eliminate them. So we're looking at bold print. We picked up service / ministry, exhorting, giving, leading, and mercy. Agreed? Those are new. All right, how many is that? 5. Now we go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, where there's another listing. These are all the listings of spiritual gifts. And who is the writer? Who wrote all of them? Well, yeah. She goes to the head of the class. She said the Holy Spirit. That's the gate question you better listen to. Well, that's true. But the human author was Paul. In other words, the same writer wrote all this. That's important for us to understand that. All right, so we get to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. We got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher. Notice I put them together. And notice I didn't put a hyphen. Because somebody discovered that Granville Sharp grammar rule applies to singular and not plural, and so they want to throw the grammar rule out. All right? But Granville only dealt with one aspect of it because he discovered there was a hyphenation, that the Greeks actually had a hyphen principle. But he didn't get into the plurality of it. He only dealt with the singular of it because he was making an issue when he was teaching. But because some people want to throw this out because they have discovered Granville Sharp grammar rule of the hyphen, they want to throw this out. That's okay with me because I don't care one way or the other. The scripture has to prove to me. So I'm going to show you why there's a guy there. And I believe it's a hyphen personally, but that's, if you don't, I don't care. Okay? I'm going to fuss with you about it one way or the other. But I'm going to tell you that's one gift. I'm going to show it to you in the Greek language. That's one gift. That adds two. That's not two, that's one. Primarily because you're not going to find the word pastor listed in the other gifts. Did you find pastor in the other gifts? These are only gifts. These are only listing of the gifts. Did you find it anywhere else? No, you didn't. Don't you think you should find it somewhere? Well, of course you should. Everything else was. You see? And if it's not indicated anywhere else, then you say, well, how about helps and administration? Yeah, I know. But pastor is a word that's used away from it in regard to the pastor of a church. So, but I'm going to show it to you. It don't matter. I don't care. See, I don't care. I don't care if you want to believe the Granville Sharp grammar rule or don't. I don't care one way or the other. I'm going to show it to you a different way. Okay? I'm going to show it to you a different way. So we wound up with one. Agreed? One bold print. Now, if we add them up, how many do we get? 19. Unless I'm wrong. If I'm wrong about one thing, if I'm wrong about pastor-teacher, if I'm wrong about that, then I have 20. Then there is a gift out there called pastor. Okay? But there isn't. And I'm going to prove it to you. From the Word of God, I'm going to prove it to you. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, I wrote it on your paper. I want to show this to you. I want to show this to you. Because my pastor, Bob Thiem, he called it a hyphen. Granville Sharp grammar rule hyphen, and just rolled on. Later we came back and studied Granville grammar in Greek. We studied Granville Sharp rule. It applied only to singular, and these are plural, and therefore they threw it out. And I went, oh my goodness, now I'm back square one. Because a lot of times Bob would tell you something, wouldn't tell you how he got it, how he arrived at that basis. He wouldn't, you know, he just told you. And he wouldn't tell you where he got it, and then he'd just go, if you want to know, find it. I guess that's what it was. But here is the absolute about it from the Greek language. Now I want you to look at Ephesians 4 chapter, verse 11 on your paper. I'm telling you there are four sets here and not five. The Greeks put it, and the way in the Greek language, how you group it. Now, we did it in four sets in 1 Corinthians 12. I showed you we had four sets. We have four and not five listed in the Greek grammar. Now, you can see it in English. You can see it in English, which is sometimes rare. But you can see it in English. Watch this. And he gave some as. Do you see some as? Are you in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, first one? He gave some as, see the word T-O-U-S-M-E-N? That's setting up a series. And he gave some as, see that word? And now you got T-O-U-S-D-E. That's setting up a series. They're setting up groups. So he gave some as apostles, one group. Some as a prophets, second group. Some as, see Toste, see that? Third group. Some as, see that? That's the fourth group. You understand what he's done? He put it as a group. Pastor and teacher is a group. Apostle, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor and teacher. He put that as a group. He put that as a gift. Okay? It doesn't matter to me whether you want to make it a hyphen or don't. I'm not going to fuss with you about it because Granville Sharp didn't go on and explain his position on the plurality of words. So I don't care. Because in the Greek language, it makes it a group. He talks about four groups, not five. So you're not going to have, these are not two separate gifts. These are one gift that fit one individual. Does that make sense to you? Does to me. So, you know, I do believe the Granville Sharp grammar rule applies to this. I think the hyphen makes sense because of the way it's grouped. And because there is such a thing as a hyphen. So it makes sense to me, but I don't care. I'm not going to fuss with somebody that's got first year Greek and wants to fuss with me about it. I'm not going to fuss about it. Because to me, the Greek language might... Listen, I don't care. I want more gifts. I mean, more the merrier. Now, I'm not trying to do something. I'm just trying to make sure we understand. Because listen, this whole church operates from spiritual gifts. All right. Now let's go to 1 Peter 4th chapter. Let's go to 1 Peter 4th chapter, or just look on your paper. 1 Peter 4th chapter 10 and 11. What Peter does is something very interesting because he's trying to wrap his brain around the functional operation of all these gifts. And people did to him, I suppose, what people do to me. How can I identify my gift? I have that. That's probably the primary question I get all the time after people study it and say, wow, I got a gift? I wonder what it is. All right, here's what Peter did, and this makes so much sense to me. When I tell people, I said, okay, you can group all the gifts in two categories. That really helps. There are speaking gifts, and there are service gifts. There are communication gifts and service gifts. And 1 Peter tells you that. As each one has received a charisma, a spiritual gift, a grace gift, employ it in serving one another. It tells you how the gift works. In serving, your gift is to serve others, not yourself. In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace. These are all grace gifts. That's the word charisma, the results of grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do it as by the strength which God supplies, in order that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, dominion, forever and ever. You see, he puts them in two categories. He puts them in speaking or communication gifts and service gifts to the body of Christ. Some are to speak edification to the body of Christ, and some are to serve the edification of the body of Christ. And that makes it so. I say to people when they ask, I say, look, you either have a communication gift or you have a service gift, one of the two. So look at these and see where. You say, well, I don't have a communication gift. Good. Let's eliminate that. Then let's get over here. Let's take a look at this. Now, we now know that we have 19, at Pentecost, we had 19 gifts given. The church was given 19 gifts. These 19 gifts would be divided into two groups, speaking gifts and serving gifts. If you did that, if you looked at the 19 in the original church, you would have 7 speaking gifts on the day of Pentecost. You would have prophecy, discerning spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation, apostles, evangelists, and pastor-teacher. That's at Pentecost. You would have had, the rest of them would have been service gifts. The rest of them, the other 12 would have been service gifts. And this division helps you understand your gifts. Okay? This would have been at the day of Pentecost. Do you have that? Do you understand that? Because that's when they were given. They were given on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. 19 gifts divided into 7 and 12 originally. All right, here's the second thing that's important. Now, once you understand that, here's the second thing that's important. According to our lesson text, which is 1 Corinthians 13, let's go to it. 1 Corinthians 13. After he gets through with 4 through 8a, he says, if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. That's three sets. We had four sets in Romans 12. Did we have four sets in Romans 12? It's the first column. Remember when you put down nine gifts? There were four sets. In the Greek language, you don't have to go back and repeat them all. If he tells you one in the set, then the set's gone. Do you understand that? You ever do ditto? So you don't want to write it again? It's the way you do it. So you don't have to come back. Look, if tongues are gone, interpretation is gone. If prophecy is gone, discerning spirit is gone. You do understand that. They were not to function in the church body. They weren't to function without this combination working. 1 Corinthians 14. All right. So we got tongues, so that set's gone. We've got knowledge and wisdom, that set's gone. And we have prophecy and discerning spirit, that set's gone, right? Look, my job's not to make you believe it. My job's to teach it. I don't care what you do with it. I'd like to have you believe it. I'd like to have you take it someplace to your place of faith. I didn't make this up. All right? He put them in sets in chapter 12. This is not another book. This is the very next chapter. He's still talking. Chapter 12, 13, and 14, that's his sermon. He did this in a lesson. People were willing to stay more than 30, 40 minutes. He could actually teach that much. I mean, they didn't have to rush off and do something incidental in their life. They could actually set things on the site, come into church and sit and study. They may have only been able to do it one day a week, where you do it 3 or 4 days. God bless you. You know, when you grew up on the farm, you went to church. People went to the church in the farm days. They went one day a week. They spent all day, and they didn't go back. Why? Because they worked 12, 13 hours a day on the farm. Anyhow, if you have, these are in sets. Chapter 12 tells you they're in sets. When you get to chapter 13, if he mentions one, the set's gone. Just that simple. Complicated. It's the way they did it. Three sets of the four are gone. This causes people to jump to some conclusions. You could do this in the Greek language. If you've got four sets set up and he shows you that three of them are gone, you can assume that the fourth one's gone. All right? I have problems with assumptions when it comes to the Word of God. I'm thinking to myself, if he took the trouble to mention three of them, why didn't he take the trouble just to mention one more? That would eliminate it and stop any kind of confusion. Are you with me? But he didn't. He did not take out verbally, he did not list faith, healing, and miracles. He didn't take them out. Some scholars in the Greek language don't have a problem with doing that. Because if he took out three, then they were given in sets of four. If you take out three, they say the series is gone. You know, if you got a series of something and you take three of them out, what's a, you know. But I have a problem with that. I have a real problem with that. I just have a problem with that. So, for me, I know three sets are gone. I know that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm confident in my soul. But I got a problem over here with three. I got a problem with one set that has three in it. Because I don't know that I can assume that Paul meant, if I take out three, I'll take, because he mentioned three. I have a problem with that. He went to great lengths to mention three. That forces me back to look at other passages to see, but 13 is the only place. 13 is the only place that he talked about doing away with any. So I got a real problem with that. Now, I've had 36 years in this church. I've preached spiritual gifts, and I've been open to this concept. There are times that I think I've seen faith, but then I don't know, because I don't know if that's the faith that came from hearing, because I don't know the people that had it well enough to be able to determine that, because they all went to church and were spiritually mature. I have not seen healing or miracles in that way. I've seen it come through prayer in the most marvelous ways, but I haven't seen it in spectacular where people had to gift the ability to do that. I've not seen it. And we have a very gifted church, spiritually speaking. We're a very gifted people, and we have been knowledgeable of gifts for a long time. And I've been open on this. I wouldn't slap anybody's hand who had that ability that I could see it. Because these are spectacular. These are gifts you can see. It's like communication, you can hear it. But I've not seen it in 36 years here. It doesn't mean it's not here. Doesn't mean that it may not be there. But in all the gifts function over 36 years, I've watched this like a hawk. And I would be very open to it. I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean it's not there, because I haven't seen it. I'm not God. I don't know this. I just know that three of them are gone, and there's one set he didn't mention. I would sure appreciate it if it had he. But I can't assume, because I'm really low on the pole of wisdom here. I'm really low on the pole when it comes from God, Jesus, Paul, and Ron. I'm not smart enough to know Paul's mind. And I can't figure out when they could be and when they couldn't be, and so I leave them alone. Now, I have my opinion, and I just gave it to you. But I have not seen them in the function of my church, and I've been watching them like a hawk. But it doesn't mean they're not, and I don't have the power nor the ability to mess with the Word of God. I can get in enough trouble on my own without messing with the Word. My job is not to add or take away. And that's one of these conditions. And so when it comes to that part, I have to kind of back away from that. I don't know about that other one. But I don't have, not a hesitant to tell you that three sets are gone. I can prove it from the Word of God, and I feel very comfortable with it based on what I've told you. Here is a missing link in why gifts disappear. We've got certain gifts. We know three sets are going to be gone. And I think apostle. I think apostle's gone. Now, about faith, healing, miracles, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. Guys on the foreign mission field, they say they see it. I've not seen it in America. Now, I know there are groups that see it, but they see everything. I don't take that serious. I don't take it serious. I would if it happened within groups that, but anyhow, I don't take it. But here's one thing that's important about them. Because people don't understand dispensations, the devil has just taken dispensations out of the evangelical church. And when you do, they come up with a, they don't have timetables. They don't know how things shift within the plan of God. I tell you, dispensation is so important. And you just don't hear it from the pulpit anymore. You used to. Back when I first became a Christian, men preached it from the pulpit. They don't preach it anymore. As a general rule across evangelical Christianity. But if you do understand dispensation, there are 10 changes. And the reason certain 19 gifts were in, and then there were 17 gifts, and then there were whatever, the reason is because of a dispensational change. Now I want to show you something. Now you'll know this because you're smart. You're smart. You're learned people in the Word of God. 10 changes. I'm going to just give you 10. Now there are more than 10, but I'm going to give you 10 biggies to show you that in the book of Acts you've got a transitional period. And there are changes being made. Watch this. Change of dispensation from the Jewish age to the church age. From the divine agency, the people that are custodians of the Word of God, evangelism, divine agency, you went from a priest nation of Israel to the church body. The canon of Scripture, you went from the Old Testament to a completed Bible. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, He worked beside a believer. In the New Testament, He works inside. Christology, we went from shadow Christology to historical Christology, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priesthood, we went from Levitical to royal. Covenants, we went from the old covenant to the new covenant. The advent of Christ. In the Old Testament, they're looking for us for His coming. We're looking for His second coming. We ain't looking for His coming. We're looking for His second coming. We're technical. They were very broad, very general in what they were looking for. They were just looking for the coming of Christ, and they thought when He come, He'd bring it all. They found out He was going to bring it in parts. We now know that. Believers, some in the Old Testament, some believers were gifted. In the New Testament, holy catfish, we are all gifted. Do you think something's not up? Do you think in the plan of God, we're not in a fast forward when He gifts every believer? Wow. I mean, the gifted ones, we read the gifted ones of the Old Testament, you can put in one chapter, 11. Primarily. Every one of us are gifted. The gospel went from a prophetic gospel, Christ is going to come die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead, to Christ came, died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead. We went from a prophetic gospel to a... Listen, and because of this transitional period and these changes, we started out with 19 gifts. And we're going to eventually, because of the transition, because all these things are going on, we're going to lose some gifts. Okay?
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.